The county's number one talk show, the 9 till noon show on Highland Radio.
And now it's time for the talk of the Northwest, the 9 to noon show with Greg Hughes on Highland Radio.
Hello, good morning. You're very welcome along to the 9 till noon show. It's just turned 4 minutes past nine on this Thursday, the 20th of April, 2023. How are you keeping? I do hope you're all very well indeed on this bright and breezy Thursday morning here across the Northwest, or wherever you're listening to us right around the world. Thankfully, we have listeners all over the place, and it's good to have you on board. The lines are open for you right now. You can call Caroline and Niamh on 07491 25000. They're waiting to take your call on 07491 25000. You WhatsApp some texts, more than welcome, to 086 60 25000. And you can watch the show across our YouTube channel and Facebook channels. That's Highland Radio Ireland on YouTube, isn't it? And just type Highland Radio in on Facebook and give us a like and a subscribe, and where applicable, hit the bell, and then you're notified when we go live on this show or other shows go live here in Highland Radio. And always, you can hop along to our website and click watch live there and watch in browser. All right, then, let's run through the newspapers this morning. It's a Thursday, so we have a ton of newspapers to go through. We'll start with the Tyrconnell Tribune, which tells us that as the successful GoFundMe campaign to support the Creaslaw tragedy victims comes near to a close, it's expected a newly established trust for the money donated will be approximately €700,000. The campaign was organised by Creaslaw's Jared McFadden in the immediate aftermath of the tragedy. Speaking to the Tribune this week, he said that they are hoping to finalise the trust documents with their solicitors this week and will soon have the money lodged into a bank account and distributed to those for whom it is intended. As well as the GoFundMe account, which is presently sitting at almost €520,000, Jared said once the trust is established, there are other significant fundraising contributions to be added directly, and this will bring the total to the region of €700,000. Among those to be added are the proceeds of the successful Trucking for Creaslaw event organised by Colin Kilpatrick last Thursday evening. Colin presented the cheque for €118,000 to Jared for its inclusion in the new trust. That and much more on that story on the front of and inside the Tyrconnell Tribune today. The Donegal Democrat, the mother of Jasmine McMonagall, who was brutally beaten to death by her on-off partner in her own home in Killigordon, has told how she relives the killing and wonders if her daughter called out for her family before she died. In a separate victim impact statement, Jasmine's oldest daughter said that killer Richard Burke had tried to teach her mother martial arts, but what Jasmine really needed was defending from him. At a sentencing hearing at the Central Criminal Court on Tuesday, the victim's mother, Jacqueline McMonagall, said that when it came to Burke, the only word that comes to mind is evil. Burke, who's 32, of Killigordon, pleaded not guilty to the murder of Miss McMonagall at Forest Park, Killigordon, on January 4th, but guilty to, and I'll just have to nip inside because this is important for legal reasons, guilty to manslaughter, isn't it? Okay. On to the Donegal News now. The end of an era is their headline. Staff at Donegal's last remaining Ulster Bank are preparing to close its doors for a final time tomorrow. Behind the drawn blind at the teller's desk is a shelf filled with cards from customers sharing their sincerest of sympathy and good wishes. One card reads, "You are more than just a building on the corner." The Letterkenny-based branch was serving up to 24,000 customers before the bank's withdrawal from the Irish market was announced almost 2 years ago. Most of those customers had banked there all of their lives, from when they first opened their account to save their communion money, buying their first car, planning their wedding, or building their first home. I couldn't have that sort of a emotional attachment to a bank, to be honest with you. I would never see them as a part of my life in that way. But some people do, of course, as outlined in the paper. To me, they're just the people, obviously. You can form a bond with they, but Ulster Bank, any bank really, I wouldn't have much loyalty to any of them. The Derry News this morning, an amazing local charity is raising a cuppa to cancer patients attending the Northwest Cancer Centre at Outnagelvin Hospital. The Friends of the Cancer Centre Tea and Coffee Dock is providing patients and their loved ones attending the hospital's spare and suite with complimentary refreshments. Each week up to 600 patients and their loved ones from across the Northwest attend the spare and suite for cancer treatment. Moving on to the Nationals now. What do you think about this? Subsidies for builders in new bid to cut the cost of construction. A new business package to address the rising cost of construction and to encourage the development of affordable homes is being developed by the government. Senior officials and ministers are locked in confidential talks aimed at developing measures to make construction more attractive. After record levels of corporation tax were announced this week, budget funding is expected to be brought forward to encourage the development of more housing. The only thing is they can't spend the money they have on housing. I'm not saying that this doesn't mean they can't do this, but the Department of Housing was allocated very significant funds. It wasn't able to spend it. I just hope that big companies didn't see what was coming down the line and backed out, sort of sat on their laurels waiting to see what extra cash might come up from government. I'm sure it probably doesn't happen, does it? The coalition is running out of time to make an impact on the housing crisis ahead of the next general election, and new policies are being drafted to ramp up development. This will include a subvention scheme to promote the construction of cost rental housing. This provides state-funded tenancies at rents significantly below market rates. Between $500 million and $750 million will be set aside for what's expected to be called the cost rental subvention scheme. But look, at the end of the day, if it means that homes are built and people get into them and they can afford the rent, maybe that's just good enough, and that's what we need. The Irish Times this morning, you heard it mentioned on the news there, one third of students in universities and colleges are experiencing serious financial problems, according to a new survey. So this is not just that things are tight, it's much more significant than that. Accommodation is the single largest source of expenditure among students in higher education, with average rents reaching $469 a month, up from $415 when the last survey was conducted in 2019. The scale of financial hardship is highlighted as a cause for concern in the Euro student report published by the Higher Education Authority, which surveyed more than 22,000 students about their social and living conditions. The volume of students, it's 21,000, sorry. The volume of students experiencing serious financial difficulties, 33%, is up significantly on the report's findings in 2019, 26%. And there are many, many people, I would say many multiples of thousands beyond that, who aren't students because families simply couldn't afford to send them on to college. I would say that's they're clearly not going to be counted in those figures, but I would say there's a big proportion of them. Another story in the front of the Irish Times here. Poor levels of vaccine uptake among healthcare workers, patient safety concerns at some HSE facilities, and increased staff turnover that outstripped all expectations are among a string of issues the agency's new chief executive, Bernard Gloucester, was warned about before taking the post. Internal briefings prepared for Mr Gloucester, who took up the job last month, offer an indication of stark challenges facing the health service. He assumed the role amid the recruitment and retention crisis and in the wake of unprecedented overcrowding in Irish hospitals due to a surge in respiratory viruses, including influenza, COVID and respiratory RSV, effectively, as it's more commonly known. It's only a million. That's all it is. That's the front of the Irish Daily Mail. That's the headline. Senior civil servant Robert Watt yesterday shrugged off a €1 million cost to the taxpayer over the botched bid to secure a job for the former chief medical officer. Mr. Watt, who is Secretary General at the Department of Health and the country's highest paid civil servant on a salary of €295,000, he defiantly rejected most of the findings of a damning report into the abandoned secondment of Dr. Tony Houlihan to Trinity College. Now, I don't think really it's within his gift to reject the findings of a report. His job is to implement the recommendations of that report and to accept it. That's what he's employed to do. So he's on €300,000, and instead of, I mean, I presume he will take his medicine and act upon this report, but it's not really for him to give his opinion upon it, is it? And following an afternoon of heated exchanges in the Oireachtas Finance Committee, the acrimony spilled into the Leinster House complex, with Mr. Watt and Sinn Féin's Piers Doherty arguing in view of a number of people. Yesterday's marathon 2.5-hour session over Mr. Watt's role in the controversial secondment featured a series of robust exchanges, with one row centering around a letter of intent written by Mr. Watt to Trinity College outlining a package of $1 million to $2 million in research funding for the post. And what effectively was happening here is that Mr. Watt and Tony Houlihan, effectively amongst themselves, decided the arrangements and the terms for Mr. Tolu Hunahan, his secondment. They didn't even really, until much of the agreement had been made, they really didn't even consult the Minister for Health. And this was going to cost 20 million. Now, Mr. Watt's on 300 grand and he's standing outside the committee arguing with members of it. The Farmers' Journal. Farmers are petrified, we're told, that Sinn Féin in government could bring about changes in agricultural tax legislation, according to Agri-Solicitor Aisling Meehan. Significantly, more farmers are seeking to finalise their succession and inheritance affairs before the next election, she told almost 550 farmers at an IFA farm succession meeting in Carlow on Tuesday, which, of course, if you are an Agri-Solicitor, it's no harm, is it, if there's quite a rush in farmers organising the succession agreements. She says, I'm seeing people who are moving on farm transfers because of a fear of a change in government. The reality is that the agri-tax relief is so simple to qualify for, you can have successors that have no interest in farming. That's not going to last, she warned. Meehan also noted that with an exodus of rural youth to Australia, there's been an increase in families trying to sort their farm succession affairs sooner rather than later. Let us go to the red top tabloids now, and we'll start with the Irish Sun. Fuel prices have fallen to their lowest since Vladimir Putin's invasion of Ukraine, but hard-pressed motorists will soon be paying more at the pumps as tax cuts start to be removed from June 1st. Research by AA reveals the average price of petrol is now at 1.59 per litre and diesel is down to 1.51, the lowest level since September 2021. Now, when I was travelling down to Dublin at the weekend, I found, right, completely anecdotally, that some of the cheapest prices of petrol you could see were in North Donegal. South Donegal prices are still seemingly very high in the 160s, late 50s. And the further you went down towards Dublin, they were consistently 161, 162, 159 for both petrol and diesel. Yet in the north of the county, particularly in and around Letterkenny, I'm not sure if it's because of competition or what, but you can get diesel for less than 150 per litre. You'll not see anything close to that unless it's changed significantly in the last couple of days. The further south in Donegal you go, there are huge differences in the price people listening to this programme right now are paying for diesel and petrol. So if you add it, particularly diesel, it seems, so if you add it up, now there is good value to be had in certain places. When I say the south, I don't want to do anyone a business disadvantage. I'm only going about some of the bigger ones that I see. But if you add it up per fill, and if you have to drive a lot, there is a massive difference for some people living in this county, listening to this show, in how much their fuel costs compared to someone else, dependent on where you live. But the government will remove excise duty cuts on fuel in three phases over the summer. It starts on June 1st when 6 cents will be added to the cost of a litre of petrol and 5 cents to diesel. A litre of petrol will then climb by a further 7 cents and diesel by 5 cents on September 1st. And finally, the price of petrol will rise by 8 cents and diesel will go up by 6 cents on October 31st, which is going to be significant. On to the Irish Daily Mirror now. Our penultimate paper of the morning. Health workers called for an urgent meeting with the HSE yesterday after mandatory mask wearing ended. The Health Protection Surveillance Centre says face covering should still be worn around patients displaying coronavirus symptoms. The changes are in line with the relaxation of COVID-19 measures in other countries, but the removal of the mask mandate in place since 2020 has divided opinion. Any nurses out there, if you're off duty or listening, I know many nurses are very pleased about this. Others might be more cautious. The unions seem very cautious indeed. We still have yet to actually clarify what the situation is as it relates to Letterkenny University Hospital, because I understand a decision actually hasn't been made yet. So as of today, the mandate is in place. Now, when I say mandate, I'm not sure what the enforcement is or whatnot. But they are still going by yesterday's rules today. And that's the way it is until such time as we hear otherwise. Finally, in the Star, you know, a lot of people very vocal and critical of Joe Biden's visit to Ireland. That being said, many, many people very interested in it. More than 1.6 million viewers tuned in to TV coverage of Joe Biden's historic visit to Ireland. And almost 700,000 were watching live as the US president gave his public address in Ballina, shouting out Mayo for Sam. Some people thought there was something. Some people I was reading on social media. When I say some people, I'm on about people, sort of journalists outside of Ireland, you know, people that have been very involved in, you know, maybe conspiracy theories and what have you. Some people, I'm not tarring everyone with the one brush, but we're convinced that Joe Biden was sending a secret message when he said Mayo for Sam, because Sam, they said, stands for surface-to-air missile, right? And that this was code name for Joe Biden predicting something's going to happen. But anyway, maybe it was, I don't know. 1.6 million of you tuned into TV coverage of Mr. Biden's historic visit to Ireland. So whilst there was quite a bit of criticism, obviously an awful lot of people are either watching it to criticise it or were very, very much interested in it. Okay, that was a run through the papers this morning.
The newspapers are courtesy of Kelly Centra Mountaintop Letterkenny, the 2022 C-Store National Off-Licence of the Year.
The 9 till noon show is brought to you by Letterkenny Credit Union, offering low-rate car loans with fast approval. Apply online at letterkennycu.ie or in office today.
Red-hot weanling prices. For more in your Farmer's Journal, here's Paul Mooney.
Find out what's driving weanling prices up by 200 euros a head. Farmers rush to transfer farms before Sinn Féin take power. Co-ops and agribusinesses targeted by credit card fraudsters. We analyse how milk prices will change in the coming months. The slurry additive that could slash Ireland's methane emissions. Plus, in Irish Country Living, don't miss our top tips for managing farm finances and tax.
Inside this week's Irish Farmer's Journal, on sale now.
The wind is our greatest natural resource. We're harnessing it to power homes across the country with 100% green energy. Switch to SSC Airtricity, Ireland's largest green energy provider, and get the wind working for you. Switch today and get 15% off electricity and gas. Switching couldn't be easier. Simply go to sscairtricity.com. SSE Airtricity. This is Generation Green. EAB 3,450 euro and 12 cent. Offer from the 15th of 2nd, 2023. Rates valid from the 1st of the 10, 2022. Subject to change. 1 year standard unit rate discount for new home gas and electricity customers and direct debit and e-bill. For details of EAB, T's and C's, rates, exit fees, standing charges and green energy claims, see sscairtricity.com.
Get the moss problems in your lawn sorted with Mobacter, the natural product to remove moss from your lawn. Apply Mobacter now and forget. No raking necessary. And Mobacter will not stain your patio areas. Mobacter is the only moss remover approved by the Royal Horticultural Society. Mobacter Lawn Fertilizer. For beautiful green, moss-free lawns. From local co-ops and garden stores. Check out Mobacter.ie for all Viano products or find us on Facebook.
Highland Radio Time Checks with Expressway. Travel route 32 from Letterkenny to Dublin. Expressway, bringing you the time at
9.21, you welcome back to the 9 till noon show. Judith McCarthy is the Donegal County Museum Curator and joins us on the programme now. Judith, thanks for talking to us in this context particularly. Because,
good morning, Greg.
Doing the right thing, of course, getting solar panels installed. And quite significant damage caused to them. What happened?
The solar panels were actually installed at the rear of the museum. So we were up at the site on Friday afternoon and noticed that there had been some damage done, as if someone had been throwing stones at them. And then went up again on Monday and there had been more damage done. So what's happening is someone is throwing stones over the wall from, you know, the small garden next to us, which is a kind of famine memorial garden. So it would appear that someone is throwing stones over the wall to break our solar panels.
Yeah, and you can see it.
To me, very random.
Yeah, and I mean, it is random and it's sickening. And are they now, the ones that are damaged, do they cease to work or is... Do they work less efficiently?
At the moment, they're working okay, but if it continues, they definitely will stop working. What has happened is that the stones have, you know, the way sometimes glass can just shatter but not break right through.
Yeah.
So that's what's currently happening. But
it reminds me of that old glass that used to have the wires in it. You know, if it gets a smack,
it
doesn't break, but it kind of shatters but retains.
Exactly.
It. Yeah.
It's like a spider web.
Yeah, exactly. But if it continues, I mean, the efficiency is going to drop significantly.
Oh, absolutely. Well, absolutely. They just won't work. And with the weather as it is at the moment, you know, they're working fantastically for us because they provide us with sufficient energy to power our electricity during the day, wow. you know, when you've got this sort of level of sunshine. You know, and the whole point of this is that we're trying to put in place measures to improve our energy efficiency and reduce our carbon footprint, you know, which is something that, you know, we're all being encouraged to do.
Yes.
So it's a very positive move on the part of Donegal County Council and the museum. But I just don't understand. I really don't understand.
Yeah. And I think you've been a little bit forgiving in your comments, which I'm sometimes accused of being myself, in that you believe that maybe those responsible don't understand either.
Yeah, no, that's what I think. I think that, you know, what people see is they just see something that will break.
Yeah.
They may not fully understand that these are solar panels. What they're doing, as I said, is trying to improve our energy efficiency, reduce our carbon footprint, good for the environment, which is of benefit to everybody.
Mm.
And I don't necessarily think that they see that. They just see, oh, look, you know, we're throwing stones and they're breaking.
Yeah.
And not making that connection.
And that's, you know what?
It's
kind of a vulnerability of solar panels that I have never really thought of before either.
Well, the thing as well, Greg, though, is that normally solar panels are often on the roofs of buildings, but we couldn't put them on the roof of our building because it's a protected structure. So, you know, because where the museum building is a very old building, as you know, it's originally part of the old workhouse. And we have sufficient ground at the rear of the building, which we thought was secure. And that's where we decided to put them. So there's a nice, quite a large array of solar panels there, which are sufficient for our purposes. But obviously not as secure as we thought they were.
No, and what all we can do, I suppose, the Gardaí, I'm sure, are investigating it because this is criminal damage, but is
yes.
to implore those who might be responsible to desist if anyone hangs around that area or knows
yeah.
who might, maybe, or and you have some sort of a guardianship role, maybe have a word with them because, as you say, maybe
yeah.
it's possible they don't understand what's going on.
Yeah, and I mean, and everybody, I think, is becoming more and more aware of the role that we all can play in the kind of the climate change crisis. So what I would hope is that if there becomes an understanding of actually that you're just damaging something that is for all of our benefits, not
yeah.
just us here in the museum, that maybe they might think twice about it. It's very hard to know, but that's what I would hope, that, you know, that's why I'm, you know, we've kind of put out there that, look, this is what's happening, and maybe people could just think twice before they do something like this.
Exactly. Okay.
Yeah.
And let's hope no further damage is caused. And as you say, the panels that you have do cover your costs, electricity, effectively in daylight hours.
Absolutely. Yes. No.
Brilliant.
They do. When we have sunshine, absolutely, they will cover the cost of our electricity. We don't have battery storage, so they're not storing electricity, but they do power the electricity that the building uses during the day.
All right. Before I let you go, then, what's going on at the County Museum at the moment? Why should people visit?
There's always a lot going on. So one of the first things is that the Baltimore Festival is kicking off in May, which is a festival for older people and creativity, and that's launching here next Wednesday. And then we have a series of events that are happening both in day hospitals and community centres and also here in the museum. And we have also a series of talks in May covering all sorts of subjects, including First World War and archaeology and Donegal.
Mm-hmm.
But another thing we're doing, which relates to Highland Radio actually, is that we are doing, it's the last year of the Decade of Centenaries. So we've received funding for a number of projects, and one of those projects is four radio documentaries that we're doing with Highland Radio looking
yeah.
at the revolutionary period. So we're really looking forward to that.
Yeah, excited about that myself. Okay. Judith, listen, thanks for coming on. And the message is
desist.
You know, it's point. It truly is pointless. All crime's pointless,
yeah.
but this is particularly. All right, Judith, have a lovely day. Take
all
care
right.
of yourself.
Thanks,
that's
Greg,
Judith
take
McCarthy,
care.
Who's from the Donegal County Museum. All right, you're very welcome back to the programme. You don't need the headphones on, it's all right. Now, we are speaking in the context of a recent announcement that St Union's College has been successful in winning the iRevise School of the Year. We're joined by a number of guests to discuss this. Paul Brown, who is a teacher at the school. Good morning to you and thank you very much for joining us, Paul.
Thank you very much, Greg.
Right, this is a real feather in the cap, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It's a great achievement for the school, absolutely.
And we are also joined in studio by Jagoff I don't have your surname here, Jack. I beg your pardon.
Oh, it's just Nair.
Nair, is it okay? And also Luke Doherty. Hiya, Luke.
Hi. Thanks
Good
for
to have you in with us. All right, so what is, can you tell us, Paul, what the iRevise School of the Year competition is all about?
Well, it was a competition that was launched, Greg, back in October, and it was kind of looking at schools that promote health, well-being and sustainability, as well as academic performance. So in order to enter the competition, we had to come up with a 3-minute video which showcased everything that we do within the school in those three areas. So I have a student wellbeing team in the school formed since last year as part of my post as a wellbeing coordinator. So I sat the lads down and said, listen, do we want to knock our heads together and come up with a video for the competition? So we all agreed that we would do it. And we sat down and we looked at the different areas of wellbeing that we promoted, health and then sustainability, things like the green school and recycling. So we got our video sorted, and Jagath was our video and sound editor, and he put it together, and we sent it in March, and we're absolutely delighted last Friday to find out that we were victorious.
Yeah, Jagath, quite a bit of pressure on this for you.
Yeah, a little bit, but I did a few editings like here and there before, like just as a hobby, like during my free time, but I guess there was a little bit of pressure because it was an All-Ireland competition, so I'm pretty competitive, so I thought, like, if we all put our heads in together, we might have a chance of winning this. And then when we got enlisted in top 10, we were ecstatic, to be honest.
Yeah, because even getting to the top 10 would have been an achievement, wouldn't it?
Oh yeah, it was. Everyone in our team was delighted, and we were all hoping for the win, and we got away with it.
Luke, what was your role in this?
Well, I was just, we all had equal roles, really. I was sort of just, I'm in the video, and then I was sort of, we had to pick, obviously, background music. I was in the mix for that, and then we had to make up sort of lines and stuff as well, just to showcase how we got our wellbeing across the school.
Because you know what's there, don't you? Right, you know what you have to offer. You know all the facilities. Yeah. It's actually articulating that, matching the shots with it, and then getting it down into the 3.5 minutes. That's the challenge, isn't it, Luke?
Yeah, the duration was actually quite a tough aspect. We had quite a lot to showcase, and we had to limit it down, going over the 3 minutes, so we had to just pick the main things.
I think in terms of anything artistic creation, like music, video, film, it's about sort of being able to. It's the post production, really, isn't it? It's a get down. So, how did you go about making it then, Jagath? Did you storyboard it? You obviously come up with what you wanted to highlight, then you get the source material and then put it all together. It sounds very complicated.
It wasn't. It does sound very complicated, but when the team was made, we all sat down on the table and just brainstormed ideas, what we need, what are the main aspects of our school. Then we got them written down on a piece of paper, and then we, like, different people took different parts of it, tried to speak it out in the video. And then towards the end, everyone had their chip-ins. Everyone had their idea and their help in towards the end for helping me in editing the video. And I was pretty hectic, to be honest, because I'm a pretty busy guy at school. So we were like we were bound by time, and to get it done quickly, it was quite a lot of pressure on me.
Yeah, Paul, was it part of the competition that the students were responsible for the submission?
Yeah, it was. It was part of it.
Which is actually a nice...
Yeah, it was. It was nice that the students get to showcase. It's their work that we're doing within the school, and indeed the teachers' work and everything that's going on within the school to promote wellbeing. It's a fantastic prize for them to win. They've a platinum package now for the iRevise, which is really a one-stop study hub for them. They have their tutorials and exam papers and exam sample answers going forward for the next year. So they'll have no excuses for not getting good results in the exams, junior cert and leaving cert, going forward.
It's every excuse in the world.
I know. They'll find something, but listen.
All right, that's coming from a teacher there, obviously. And there's a cash prize with this as well, is it?
Unfortunately not, no, because if there was, I would have asked for a 10% cut of it and we would have done something. But no, it's not. The $250,000 gives access to every student in St.
Right,
Union's.
Well, that's kind of the same thing, right? So that's the total prize.
Total
fund,
prize.
Then,
and
which
then,
is, it's a quarter of a million.
It's a quarter of a million. It is a lot. And in addition to that, we also got 3 places at the Euro Languages School. It's like a French and German, Spanish course for the students, and each one of those prizes is worth 1,500.
Yeah.
So there's nearly another extra 5,000 on top of that.
That's really significant. And also, there's a great bit of pride from you guys as well in being responsible for this, you and the team. How many of you were all involved in it all together?
We were a team of six.
Yeah.
So obviously, me and Luke were a part of it. Then we had Kian Blake, Adam Hootsma, and Luke Toner, and Danny Doherty. Everyone did their part. Everyone was... There wasn't a person who did more. There wasn't a person who did less. Everyone did their part equally.
I think it was a nice sized team too, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Because sometimes you can get in each other's way with the best of intentions, but you get six there and everyone has their role in place. Luke?
Well, the thing is, we're all big personalities, but we all have different interests. So we were able to... That there was a really big help. For example, I'm into sport, but Jagath has different interests, but that was good because we were able to get all the aspects of well-being into the video then, not knowing if we, for example, if we were all into sport, we would have all focused on sport and aspect,
exactly
forgetting
what
everything.
You mean. Even subconsciously, wouldn't you?
So
you'd find yourself
really helpful
leaning
to
in
have
that direction.
That size of team.
Jagath, what are your interests?
I'm a tech guy. I love learning about tech. I'm a huge fan of cars, fall F1. And I also like a bit of photography. I like things here and there.
Yeah, so ticked your lot of boxes for you. And you're sports focused, Luke. Do you play or follow or what?
I play football, so I do. Coach a bit as well.
Very good, okay. And this is a great showcase for the college itself as well, Paul, isn't it? Because we're up here talking about it. Now, it's an open door here for us to talk about St. Eunice, don't get me wrong, but, you know, it highlights and spotlights, you know, what you're doing down
there. Yeah, it does. It's shone a spotlight on all the work that the teachers are doing. I mean, we can't really take full credit for that because a lot of the aspects of the green schools, for example, that they're doing there, I wouldn't be involved in that. Aspects of the health. We have a Selena Slancha there for the teachers to take classes out on a day like this for a walk around the school to get a bit of fresh air and kind of a break from the classroom. So, you know, it's everybody. Everybody in St. Eunice College has contributed to this prize.
Yeah. What was the most challenging element of this? And I'll guess in advance, and I could be wrong, is the smiley face at the beginning of this. To get so many people stood in the one place. To get so many people stood in the one place and to get the drone shot.
Yeah, there was a lot. I think one of the big ones was He Who Shall Not Be Named switched off the Mac computer on us one day and we nearly lost our video. But there was a real panic amongst the team to try and retrieve it, and thankfully Jagath with his skills got it back. But the whole lot of it was, there was a lot of work involved in it. And as you talk about the drone shot, that was actually done pre-COVID, that shot with a smiley face. So we had that, Parag O'Donnell, one of our staff members, had the drone for that. So it was a great opening for it. And even the song, hopefully Ed Sheeran doesn't come looking for money off us for the song Castle on the Hill, but that just suits. St. Eunice College is a castle on the hill and it suited so well for it.
And Coldplay might be on to you as well.
Yes, well.
Different ones. But just listen... just blame it on Luke. It's Luke, chose the music.
Yes,
for
exactly.
For the most part. So you wouldn't have to deal with them, Luke. It's nothing to do with us.
Nothing to do with us is right.
Do you have plausible deniability, Paul? Do you?
We will. We will after this.
We'll have to get it, buddy.
We will.
So just in relation to putting it together, Jagath, you shot some stuff. I presume there's already photos there and what have you.
Yeah.
That, you know, you had a mixture of existing source material and then what you felt needed to fill it out, you were able to get that together.
Yeah, it was first of all, there was a lot of material for us to use, but Luke and Mr. Brown said that there was a 3-minute mark, and when I made the first draft, we went over 5-6 minutes, and it was kind of annoying because there were so many good parts we wanted to put in, but we had to cut them out for time.
Now there's a lot of pieces to camera on this. When are we going to get to see the blooper reel?
I
would say that's tasty.
And it's a lot longer than 3 minutes as well.
That's what I'm saying. A lot longer. We're going to have a look at the video and I listen to it here. I'm watching some of it on the screen in front of me and I'm thinking, this is going to have a good blooper reel, this one. But maybe leave that for another day when everyone's left school.
Settled down a bit.
What stage, Luke, are you through your education at St. Eunice?
I'm in my final year. I'm doing my leaving cert now.
Right, okay. And things going all right for you?
Yeah, things are going great. Just have to keep the shoulder to the wind now and keep going now. 100%. The final stretch.
Yeah, busy year. What are you hoping to go on study, or have you considered that much yet?
Hopefully primary school teaching.
Right, excellent. Here, hopefully.
It would be a back route, yeah. It would be a back route.
Yeah, but you have to stay in Ireland is what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Okay. Yeah. We're tying all of you teacher students to desks somewhere. And what about you, Jagath? What's your interest post-secondary school, do you think?
I'll probably, most like, I really want to go study mechanical engineering because before I said I'm really interested in cars, so I thought once I study that I can get into the cars industry, like start creating and design cars like people might like.
Yeah. Okay, so that would be more the designing side of things.
Not just designing, just like basically how the engine works. That's like my...
What engine though?
Well, maybe...
Because I'm just wondering, by the time you really qualify... I saw some amazing advances in hydrogen engines at the moment, which perhaps probably are the future. I don't know what the story is. But in terms of the ICE engine, I don't know, unless you're going to work on classic cars, do you think, you know, petrol and diesel internal combustion engines past 2030, for example?
It's going to be really tough because electric cars are taking over. As much as I hate it myself, I just kind of have to admit it. Electric cars are becoming too popular.
You like the noise.
Yeah. I grew up with noise. So.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
But when I grow up, I feel like I kind of want to create an engine that's good for the environment.
Yeah.
But at the same time, satisfying all the car enthusiasts as well. Because like electric cars, like okay, they're good for the environment, but they're not satisfying everyone really.
Oh, great torque, great power.
Yeah,
but it's the noise.
It's just too silent.
I know what you mean. I do know what you mean, and that is it. And that, I think that's the nut that engineers are trying to crack. So you'll be part of that game, hopefully. All right, all very good indeed. So Paul, you must all be very, very proud then of clearly a impressive group of students that you've got together, the half a dozen, and everyone else there as well. Because
absolutely,
everything really is the sum of its parts, and that's what St. Eunan's College is all about, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. Anything else you just want to say before we go? We'll play out with the video, I think, and the audio, obviously, for people in radio land.
No, just thanks to everybody for all the congratulations and the well wishers, the emails and phone calls all week. It's been a great week for us, and it's been like a pathetic fallacy, Greg, with the weather has just reflected the mood in St. Eunan's College. So hopefully that lasts for another few weeks yet.
Yeah, hopefully the pathetic fallacy continues for the next 5 or 6 months.
Exactly.
Well done to you, Jagath. It's been great having you up. Best of luck with all your career. I think you're actually entering what you're looking to get into, probably a time of evolution. It's really an exciting time as well. And Luke, we wish you the very best with your career because we need loads and loads of really good teachers. So that's good to hear. And congratulations to everyone at St. Eunan's College. And really appreciate you all calling in. No, we'll have a listen now to the video that was put together, which meant that St. Eunan's College in Letterkenny won a massive €250,000 prize after entering the iRevise School of the Year competition.
I'd like to welcome you all to St. Eunan's College, the leading boys' school in the Northwest. With over 950 students and 102 members of staff, St. Eunan's College strives for excellency in well-being, offering various trips, fundraising events, and well-being initiatives for all members of the school community. Today, I'd like to give you just a brief insight into some of the activities offered by bodies such as the Student Council, Students and Staff Well-being Teams, and the Peace Schools Committee.
St. Eunan's College offers various well-being opportunities for all students and staff, some of which include online webinars such as Jigsaw Mental Health Let's Talk for all students in college, following with Be Well seminars for all junior cert classes that address and identify anxiety. We show meditation videos and also get each student to participate and drop everything and move as part of Wellbeing Week. We provide students with the Mind Your Melon mental health program, which includes cinema excursions for both first and second year students. We have non-uniform fundraisers for Down Syndrome and Alzheimer's Ireland, and we also have ice cream sales to fundraise for Donegal Hospice regularly. Students are offered extracurricular sporting activities including Aviva Stadium soccer trips and first and second year Gaelic football and soccer leagues. We bring in guest speakers such as Ray Langan, who presents Raise the Game, a study skills seminar for students. Last but not least, our staff have staff nights out at the Wild Garlic Restaurant.
But health is one of the key aspects in daily life here in St. John's College. We have many opportunities for both students and staff to develop their physical abilities. For one example, we have Seamus Mantra, which are walking routes which can be found around the school, as you can see here. Our school is the first year numeracy trail, which takes place every year in a local town park, which helps boost numeracy skills and physical health. We also have an inclusion program with St. Bernadette Special School, including tennis games and soccer matches, and we take great honour in leading this progressive program in Letterkenny. Last year, our students organised a 24-hour tennis song in conjunction with their own convent, which raised €2,000 for Jigsaw and St. Vincent de Paul. For our staff, there's wellbeing walks often to Glenbay National Park, Carvanning Woods, and into the nature there. We also have teachers and students' football matches, which is always a highlight for participants and spectators.
Here at St. Jude's College, we have a water harvester at the back of the school. The water harvester is used to collect rainwater, which is then used in this polytunnel to grow the plants. The plants are grown in these sweet boxes here that are used in the past year. Our ag science classes use them to repurpose them for growing the plants to help with sustainability. Our green school committee has two bins in each classroom. This helps the caretakers to separate the waste for recycling. On a weekly basis, the Green School Committee collects this paper in the main areas of the school and shreds it. They give it to a local farmer who uses it for bedding animals. The Green School Committee also carries out a litter pit at least twice a year, or in the town of Letterkenny. We work with Letterkenny's Tidy Towns.
Joined on the programme now by N2 representative in Donegal, Mary T. Sweeney. Thanks for joining us, Mary T. It's good to have you back on the programme.
Good morning, Greg. Good morning, listeners.
Right, OK. Now, a new plan called Time to Move On has been issued by the HSE this week, and it shocked and angered the majority of parents and guardians of those who are resident in Ardgrenya in Stranorlar. It accommodates around 30 residents of varying disabilities. So what is the history and how long have these people been residents of Ardgrenya?
Some of the residents, I wouldn't have all the details of all the families, Greg, but I would have been aware of the stories that were told at the meeting. But I'm aware that there are residents there, I understand, up to and maybe in over 20 years. And for all of them, it has been a long-term, what was considered their temporary home, their final home, if you like. And many of the residents themselves are now getting elderly, and many of them have underlying health conditions, and all have IDs or intellectual disabilities, autism, and multiple health conditions, physical disabilities as well as intellectual disabilities. Mm. Some are verbal, some are non-verbal. And I understand that actually it was palpable. The families felt devastated to be landed with this at a meeting that they were not aware of.
All right, and we'll talk about this letter proposes. But what I really find quite concerning, but perhaps not at all surprising, is this letter came somewhat out of the blue from the HSE, from not an individual. There's no one necessarily as such in this letter standing over this. But this letter advised guardians or individuals that Ardgrenya Court is going through a process of decongregation over the next 3 years. So is there a point of contact with the HSE, or did they not sign these letters? Or how significant do you think that that element of this process is?
Greg, it's actually devoid of emotion, this letter. How harrowing for the families, not even a name of a person on the bottom of it that you could know or ring or get any security or confidence from. There is an email at the top, but I don't know if it's fair. You can say it if you want. There's a lady's email at the top, incidentally, in an address bar. But I don't know if that lady is responsible. I would think possibly not. But this is harrowing. The language in this letter is absolutely, I think it's apparently was devastating. Many of the parents and families of these residents, many parents may be even dead, it could be siblings, but imagine that, you know, the confidence and security. Ardgrenya had issues that have been well investigated, and the families assure me that they have ultimate confidence in the staff and the care that their family members receiving there.
Mary T, in speaking to the families, did you get the impression that all of them are unhappy with this, or for some, dependent on the resident, it might be better for them, or has so much time passed that perhaps it's not. Like, is the opposition to this from families unanimous, or do some see perhaps their loved one being in a different type of setting a good thing?
I can't say, because the meeting was staged over two options. There was a half two option or a 6:30 option.
Mm.
So I don't have evidence
as
yet.
I understand. No, that's fine.
The people,
that's fine,
and it'll be unfair of me to make those assumptions.
Okay.
But the person, the family I've been speaking to, are devastated, you know, absolutely devastated.
Can you talk us through their concerns, Mary T?
The concerns were the arrogance, I think, presented at the meeting by the chair, and I use the word arrogance, by an unknown person, a chairman that came down from apparently Dublin, which would lead me to question what's the, you know, why was this not handed to the local management of the Argrania? They were told that there had been two previous meetings held in-house, not allowing the residents' families to be privy to them, and that at these meetings that they were actually, these were the meetings that arranged and decided how they would proceed by de-congregating the residents. What language to use?
And let's not forget, I presume for a lot of people, if not all of them, these are their homes. Right, so really what being asked to do, they're being evicted from their homes to be relocated elsewhere. And a couple of questions, Mary T, and I fully understand that you don't have all the answers, okay, so I'm not expecting you to know all the answers, but in terms of, I presume friendships have been made. Is that being considered? I presume in terms of where people might be located going forward, will it be considered if they're close to their family or support network, or, you know, those types of things that might have a negative impact on the residents of this facility? Do we know anything in relation to those questions?
I think that the greatest word that we could use there is familiarity.
Mm.
And I think that it brings comfort to people. Routine is a big one, big one, Greg. Mm. You're right on the button. And like for many people, because I have worked and I have several people contacting me about autism, and I know you did something on it recently there, and I have been asked by people to do something publicly on bringing people together on that. But the reality with people with autism, and there's different degrees and levels of autism, I appreciate, but the familiarity and routine, as you say, are hugely important. And the community, the greater community, and I do know people that live in that area of the Sonora Road, and absolutely horrified at the idea of them not being a part of their community.
Mm.
You know, they're familiar to walking up and down, going to the shop, or they have their buses, they have their outings. They're living in separate bungalows.
Yeah.
There are only three and four people to a bungalow.
Yeah,
these are living in the community.
And who moves in their place? Now, we do know and we understand, right, that there's been quite an investigation into on Green on Court and some of what's gone on there historically. But where is the patient-focused case, let me use that word if that's okay, to say that this is the right thing for the people living here? Because we have a history of bad decisions that have been made. So where is the evidence, where is the proof that this is the right decision for the residents and their families?
Our Grania, just to confirm the name again there.
Sorry, I beg your pardon.
I think that's the housing estate in Letterkenny.
Our Grania, I beg your pardon.
The residents of our Grania, when I heard this story, I thought, where is the so-called care and compassion? And something that I picked on, and I didn't really get into it with the family member because it's even more upsetting, is maybe it's my activism over the years makes me ultra suspicious. But when I see words like, the resident will be supported to explore their own interests and choices and will be helped to do so by family, supporters and friends.
In addition
to the ongoing support of the HSE Disability Services.
Okay.
They have no clarity about what services will be provided to these people when they're relocated. There was talk that they could be in flats. There was no definite plan, yet they're told it's going to be quite imminent. There was no definite final destinations. We could rent flats. We could be in built units. It could be in apartments. It could be in houses. So they're going to be independently living in their own with some supervision from the HSE, but no clarity as to what. And when you see, and I have other families that are not related to Ardguinea, where the family members have requested to leave HSE facilities in a very vulnerable and weak state, and families getting a call and saying, oh, your family member wants to go home. We have to facilitate them in their decision. And the family member has an ID and doesn't know what they're doing. Of course they're going to. If you show somebody that's nonverbal a picture of their family or a new flat, and you say, you know, where do you want to go?
Yeah.
What happens to the families that will not have the resources or the facilities or the support at home?
Right. It's feeling that further meetings are required. I will speak to you again on this, Mary T. But for now, thanks for bringing it to my attention. I appreciate it.
As I say, I'm suggesting that they try and request an immediate, at least a proper briefing with the HSE, that they're given the opportunities to thrash this out, because this is too important to ignore.
For sure.
And if the HSE don't facilitate that meeting, and it has to be soon, because it's suggested that it's going to be quite imminent, these moves, and then I will arrange a date in Balbuffet or wherever the people want if they contact me, and I will facilitate them coming together to try and get a HSE representative to come to that meeting.
Mary T. Sweeney, ain't you rep.